You'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to St. John, to chapter 14. We're going to begin reading at verse 15 and read through verse 24. In one sense of the word, Jesus is sharing his last will and testimony with his disciples. He's telling them what he's going to leave them. Now, we believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith and practice. We want to know what God's will for our lives is. We go to his word, and there he tells us he never lies to us. He never misleads us. This is truth we can count on and truth we can stand on. Listen to this truth. Jesus speaking to his disciples. If you love me, you will obey what I command. If you want to know how much you love Jesus, ask yourself how much you obey him. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. The last will and testimony of Jesus, the legacy of Christ, what he leaves us. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word. To his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, living as we do in an increasingly secular world, and remembering the legacy that Christ has left us, spiritual power, help us in our day to be effective for him, as disciples in times past also changed the world. And we ask that in Christ's name. Amen. We live in a time when barbarians are at the gates of Western civilization. The war that we are experiencing in the Mideast is only symptomatic of a far greater problem that faces the world. There is the rise of the Muslim faith, which once again, as it did in centuries past, threatens to sweep the world. The war in the Mideast is not so much about oil as it is about power and control. And we see our society threatened from within by humanism, secularism, and paganism. And this morning I want to talk about spiritual power. Do you have real spiritual power in your life this morning? Are you the kind of Christian that you want to be, or that you know God wants you to be? Do you have spiritual power in your life so that when you share your faith with others, there is a response? Do you have spiritual power in your life so that when troubles come, you're able to handle it? Do you have spiritual power in your life so that when things go wrong, when dreams evaporate, when hopes cave in, when despair overshadows, your faith is still triumphant? The first point I want to make this morning is this. You can be a Christian, you can be a believer, and still live a defeated Christian life. There was a time in the life of the disciples of Jesus when they didn't have spiritual power. There was a time when physical threat turned them into quaking cowards. There was a time when, without the presence of Jesus to support them, they locked themselves away in some upper room because of sheer terror. There was a time when one of them was threatened and was so frightened that he denied Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something about them. When all of that happened, they believed in Jesus. Does that seem strange to you? It does to me. Here were men who had been with Jesus for 3 incredible years. They had walked with Him and talked with Him. They had listened to His parables. They had eaten together. They had slept side by side. They had watched Him heal. They had watched Him perform miracles. And yet the fact is, when evil men hung Jesus on the cross, the Bible says of these men, they all forsook Him and fled. Were those men believers? Did they know who Jesus was? Did they realize that He was the Messiah for whom Israel had longed? And the answer is yes. Yes, they knew that. After all, Peter had spoken for them all when he confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And do you know what the problem was with those disciples? Do you know why they were spiritual failures? Let me tell you why. They were living before Pentecost had come. Now, let me ask you a question. Were these men, with all of their faults, with all of their failures, with all of their denials, with all of their shortcomings, were they Christians? Were they believers? And the answer is yes. Yes, they were believers. Just as you and I are believers in Jesus, so were they. But what was wrong? Why were they living such defeated Christian lives? I want to ask you a question. Are you living a defeated Christian life? Are you all you ought to be or all you want to be as a follower of Jesus? Are you measuring up to what God wants of you? You see, a lot of us this morning are living defeated lives. A lot of us are living before Pentecost. Let me tell you what the problem was. Perhaps in the process we will discover what may be wrong with the spiritual lives of some of us. Here's what was wrong. There is a difference between believing and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and receiving and being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me explain. In John 1:12, we read, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right." He gave the right to become children of God. Now the disciples had believed in the name of Jesus. They had received Him as the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, and as a consequence, they had the right. They had the authority to be children of God. But let me tell you a secret. There is a profound difference between having the right to be something and the power to be something. Now, the question is, do you have the power this morning? I suspect a lot of us have that problem. I suspect that we believe in Jesus. We believe He is the Son of God. We believe He died for us. We believe He is our Savior. And because of that, we have the right to be the children of God. And yet the fact is, many of us are like the disciples before Pentecost. We are living powerless lives. We're living defeated lives. So the first point I want to make this morning is this. You can be a believer. You can be a Christian and still be living a defeated Christian life. You can be so defeated you have no joy in your faith. You can be so defeated that you're overcome again and again and again by sin. You can be so defeated in your Christian life that you feel guilt, and shame over your faithlessness to Jesus. Now the second point I want to make is this. Jesus left us a legacy. In His last will and testimony, Jesus left us a treasure. He made us rich. You remember how the Bible put it in our scripture for this morning. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. So the legacy of Jesus, the gift of Jesus, the one thing He promised His followers was the Holy Spirit. You remember how He told His disciples about it in the last verses of the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. He's reminding them of the Gospel and how He's given His life. And He says, you're to be witnesses of these things. But He says, you're not ready. Stay in the city until you are endued with power from on high. Wait until you get the dynamite of the Holy Spirit for your life. And then again in the first chapter of Acts, as He's with His disciples now for the very last time, and the book of Acts reports this, He says, and you shall be My witnesses when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then He says, after that you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, that's what I need, don't you? I, as a believer, need that power that God has offered me through Jesus Christ. I must not only be a believer in Jesus, I must be a receiver of the Holy Spirit. Has that happened to you? Let me share my own testimony. I was called into the ministry and I'd been a minister for 10 years. Let me confess that I had been relatively successful in my ministry. I was pastor of one of the leading Presbyterian churches in Texas. I'd written several books. I was a leader in my denomination. And yet the fact is, I must confess to you that I was leading a defeated Christian life. And one morning when I awoke and realized I did not want to go to work, I said to the Lord, Father, if this is all there is to the ministry, I want out while I'm young enough to change my career. But in my heart of hearts, I know there is something here that I'm missing. I know there is some part of my relationship to You that isn't what it ought to be. And as I studied the Scripture and as God directed me, I discovered that I needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, we must not only believe in Jesus, we must receive His legacy, the power of the Holy Spirit. And every one of us here this morning, in order to have lives of power for Jesus Christ, in order to have the ability to live a life for Jesus Christ, to overcome and be triumphant, to be filled with the joy of the Lord, must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some, when we are believed, are filled. Others are filled at some other time. And the only question that each of us must ask is, have I been filled? Have I so surrendered my will and my life that God has been able to fill me with His Spirit from the top of my head to the very bottom of my feet? Have I permitted Him to control every dark corner, every closed closet that I want to keep Him out of? Have I opened that up and let Him in to deal with me? Do I have the power of the Holy Spirit? And then the fourth thing I want to say is this. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I individually, we as a congregation, and all of us as Christians, are going to fail to meet the incredible challenge that faces us today. Carl F. H. Henry, who's one of the most powerful evangelical voices in the world in the past 30 years, has recently written a book entitled Twilight of a Great Civilization. And what he's talking about is Western civilization. And he likened what is happening in America today to what happened to the barbarians when they swept over the ancient Roman civilization and destroyed it and threw the world into the Dark Ages. He says that we today cannot see the judgment that hangs low over our planet. He writes that we applaud modern man's capabilities, his technology, but we forget that we are threatening each other with atomic destruction, that gun smoke darkens our inner cities, that the drug culture is rampant, that our near neighbors in the ghettos walk in terror by day and sleep in fear by night. He reminds us that ancient pagan rulers staged Colosseum circuses to divert the minds of the people from the reality of a crumbling world, and that we today are being diverted from the crumbling realities of our world as we sit glued to the Colosseums of today, our television sets. Yes, the barbarians are coming. We live in a time when mob pressure and revolution are the means of social change rather than reason and persuasion. And all over the world are brush fires of revolution, of men of all kinds carrying guns and bombs and shooting and killing one another. We live in a time when Christianity has dropped the last barrier to paganism by its preoccupation with changing social structures and has muffled the true call of the church to create a new humanity out of broken, fallen mankind. Do you realize an entire generation is growing up without any awareness of how to become a believer, let alone a power-filled believer? Yes, the barbarians are coming, and the church seems totally inadequate and ineffective. We Christians are in danger of becoming totally irrelevant to the great mainstream of history, for we are trivializing ourselves into oblivion with our preoccupation with trivialities rather than the task of evangelizing a lost and desperate world. Already the old line denominations are in disarray, membership dropping, rotting at the core as liberal theology has eaten the very guts out of the gospel and made the church into a social action political force that is steadily losing its momentum as a force at all. And the church has become trivialized, and the world has lost the force of the gospel. As Dr. Henry put it, future historians may well look back upon our own lifetime as the very point in church history when the Christian churches forfeited their greatest spiritual opportunity since the apostolic age by making a fetish of church union, devoting millions upon millions to ecclesiastical administration and buildings, sounding an unclear gospel from a blurred Bible, debating the task of Christianity, and all the while losing evangelistic effort. And if you doubt that, ask yourself what evangelistic effort you have involved your own life with. Let me tell you this. The issue before us this morning, and the issue that faces Christians everywhere, is the issue of spiritual power. There are great forces of power at work in our world today. Evil forces of secularism, humanism, materialism, and a new outbreak of cultism. The issue that faces us this morning is the issue that faces Central and the issue that faces the world. What is at stake is the issue of our witness to a world under attack from the non-believers, from the pagans, from the humanists, from the barbarians. Will the multitudes in the streets hear a stirring in the wind and sense afresh that Pentecost is blowing once more? Will the world ever know that there is an option other than the barbarians? Yes, we must believe in Jesus and we must inherit His legacy, the power of the Holy Spirit. It was in the power of the Holy Spirit that St. Paul invaded the ancient world, and there in the marketplace of Athens came to grips with the philosophers of the Stoics and the Epicureans. And it is in the public arenas, in the streets and in the marketplaces today, that you and I must also witness to the power of God to change humanity. You see, the only thing that holds out any hope for the future is a changed humanity. Let me tell you this. The barbarians who are coming offer us no future. And they will cast us back into a moral degradation that brings a new dark age upon us. For our own society is replete with sexism, with violence, with profanity. And they will cast us into a moral world of a new dark age. But Christians and a church that forsake the truth of God have no future without the truth that God was in Christ revealing Himself to the world. And through the power of the Holy Spirit working in you and me, God wants to change lives. It's not a simple question to ask if you believe in Jesus. It is not a simple question to ask if you have received the power of the Holy Spirit. No, in a darkened world, the barbarians are coming. And we're living in the twilight time of a great civilization. We tremble on the brink of a new dark age. And who shall speak for Christ? In an ancient pagan civilization, when the darkness of paganism and barbarism ruled the world, there were some men who went out into that world and turned it upside down. They could do that because they had something to share with the world that could change humanity. And what they had was Jesus Christ. And they had the power to do it because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Once more, the barbarians are knocking at the gates of civilization. The struggle is gigantic. The implications worldwide. And we Christians are the only one who have the answer, the message, to change the world. And the only question is, do we have the power? Only you can answer that question for yourself. Let us pray.